How many of you have ever been in a situation where you just didn't know how to deal with it? You didn't know what to say. Anybody ever been there before? You have one of those moments. I mean, you just don't know what to do. When I came up and we were switching to prayer, Dave looked at me and he said, I didn't want you to pray for me. And I said, that's okay. We're praying for you. All right. It was an awkward moment maybe for him. Well, you know, about 20 years ago, I was asked to speak, not preach, just go in and speak to a group of seniors, okay? That's like a group that is like in the twilight years, okay? They've passed the senior mark, but they're in the twilight years. And they said, you don't need to preach, just come and encourage us and remind us that we still have value. Well, I remember asking my dad, I said, you know, this is kind of an unusual request, and what am I going to say to this group of individuals as we gather? Because it's not supposed to be a Bible message, it's just a little encouragement, a little reminder that they are valuable. And my dad looked at me without hesitation. He said, son, if I were you, I would walk in and say, you have great value. And this is how I know it. Because at your age, you have silver in your hair, gold in your teeth, gas in your belly, and lead in your rear. And I said, I'm not sure how that's going to go over. I did. And they laughed just like you laughed, right? Well, today, we're going to talk about someone who was in the twilight years of life. We've been talking about being courageous, and today we're going to take a look at a man by the name of Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old in the passage of scripture we're going to look at today. And Caleb says, you know what? I may be 85, but I feel like I'm still that person I was at 40 when God gave me a promise, and it's a promise that I'm still holding on to today. Let's go ahead and take a look at Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to break out a couple of verses and look at a handful of things that Caleb has to say and that he begins to discover and find out about who he is and about his faith. Now, a couple of Sundays ago when we started talking about be courageous, here's what we actually discovered. We said if we're going to go ahead and be courageous, sometimes we think of it as a heroic moment. We think of it as doing something outstanding. We think of it as doing something absolutely extraordinary. But here's what we said. Sometimes being courageous is that moment when we're young. That moment when we're growing up and we're a teen and mom and dad won't know what we're doing and nobody else will know what we're doing and it's just us. It's just us and maybe a friend. But being courageous sometimes is just defined at that moment in being able to go ahead and do the right thing when no one else might know the thing that you did or didn't do. We said being courageous is doing the right thing. We said being courageous is also going ahead and listening to the voice of God. And in the process of listening to the voice of God, being willing to arise and go, even when it doesn't make sense. Just to do what God asks you to do when it doesn't all add up. And then we said sometimes being courageous forces us to go ahead and just leave the consequences to God. Well, today as we look at this passage of Scripture, we have the picture. We have a painting of a man who's up in years. His name is Caleb. He's 85. But in the midst of this picture, what we see is we see someone who was willing to listen to God. We see someone who was willing to rise and go. And we see someone who knew what it was absolutely like to leave the consequences to God. Now, when we look at Caleb's life, one of the things that we're going to discover is that he wasn't perfect. When we look at Caleb's life, one of the things that we must know is he didn't always have every answer. But when we look at Caleb's life, we're going to see a description that described his life that could be the description of your life today. So as you were there and we listened to this passage, don't think we're just talking about an 85-year-old man and it has nothing to do with you. Because we're talking about an 85-year-old man who's grown in his faith. He's not ready to retire. He's not looking to withdraw from responsibility with God or family or society or community or the church or anything. He's young at heart and he's absolutely convinced that God still has the answer for his life and for your life and my life. In Joshua chapter 14, here's what it says in verse number 6. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." Caleb comes and he says, "Joshua, you remember back in Kadesh Barnea? You remember that Moses had something to say, and you remember that God had something to say. Do you remember what that was, Joshua? He had promised us something, and he was ready to give us something." Let me ask you something. How many of you are really good at remembering things that took place 40 years ago? Yeah, some of you are going, "I wasn't alive 40 years ago, right?" So we can remember. This section over here, enjoy the memory thing, all right? Just enjoy it. I pride myself in having an absolutely fantastic memory, but it begins to go, okay? It just happens. You can fight it. You can think it won't happen to you, but your day's coming, all right? You sit there and smile, but it's before you. Joshua, Caleb are having this conversation. Caleb looks back and he says, "You remember that conversation that we had 40 plus years ago? Do you remember that?" And Joshua and Caleb continues the conversation. He says, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." Caleb says, "Man, I came back and I shared my heart. My heart was convicted. My heart was convinced." He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." He says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. And then it says this, "Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day." Because, here's the why. Here's what set Caleb apart. It wasn't that he was 85. It wasn't that he had done something at 40. It wasn't because he had always made the perfect choice. But here's what it says. Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. When we begin to go ahead and look at Caleb's life, here we have an 85-year-old man who says, "Look, you may not believe it, but I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 40, and I feel like going to battle right now." And it says that there were giants in the land back at that time, and we hear that there are giants there right now. But Joshua, I want you to know something. I feel like I can go up and take on those giants today. And the reason I feel like I can go and defeat that giant today is because I'm not walking in my strength. I'm not looking to do this myself. I feel like I can go into battle today at the age of 85. I can go up that mountain and I can come back down that mountain, and I can claim victory, not because of who I am, but because of who God is. I want to tell you this. We need more Calebs today. We need more Calebs. We need some more 85-year-olds that aren't looking to expire. They're not looking to retire. They're not looking to go ahead and pass it off to someone else. We need some people with a little gray in their hair, with some experience in life, to continue to wholly follow the Lord their God. But do you know what else we need? We need some younger people. We need some of those 40-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 10-year-olds old and all the way down. We need some people in our culture, in our society to stand up and become courageous and say, you know, the distinctive mark of my life is I am going to wholly follow the Lord. You see, if we want to be bold and courageous, it's not an act of heroism that we need. If we want to be bold and courageous, we don't have to go out and do something that other people would look at and say, wow, how can I top that? Yesterday, I got to sit with Ted Allen and some others and going through a CPR certification. And he begins to talk about his experiences and how they go out on a run and someone is there and they're lifeless and then they show up and they take over and life is restored. You know, that kind of sounds heroic, doesn't it? And I mean, when you're standing there and you're listening and you think, man, that's pretty amazing work that he does. I mean, that's just heroism at its best in many people's eyes. Right, to just be able to show up and take over a situation and know exactly what to do and you go ahead and you have that great experience. But then he said, you know what? There's sometimes we show up and there's nothing we can do. Well, what makes him bold and courageous is not showing up on a scene and taking over and being able to go ahead and rescue someone. Because sometimes he can and sometimes he can't. And he would be the first to tell you those moments where you can't eat at you much longer and much more than you celebrate the moments that you were able to. Those moments that we would say are bold and courageous. We would look at it and say, man, my life it just pales in comparison. It's not that exciting. Can I tell you something? You don't have to show up on the scene of an accident or in someone's home where they might be apparently lifeless and try and take over to be bold and courageous. You see, bold and courageous looks different in his life than it does in my life. Bold and courageous looks different in your life than it does in his life. Bold and courageous comes down to you and I listening to the voice of God, being willing to arise and go and do what he's leading us to do and be able to leave the consequences to him. But where we struggle is this. Sometimes we know we need to listen to him. He runs something by us and we say, that's absolutely crazy. There's no way I could do that. So we don't arise and go and we don't leave the consequences to him. And some of us have been living like that for quite a while. And quite honestly, when we live like that, we get tired of living like that. We want our life to have more meaning. We want to be bold and courageous. We just think that has to come from the outside of us. Joshua told Moses, or Moses told Joshua, be bold and courageous. Moses sets up a time and he looks Joshua and Caleb in the eye and he says, I need you to be very courageous. God comes back to Joshua and he says, Joshua, I need you to be very courageous. The word literally implies to rely on the courage that is within you, coming and flowing from a relationship with God. You see, if you're a believer today, if you know Christ, if you have that faith relationship with him, then you have everything you need to be bold and courageous. You don't need to wait on something from the outside. You just need to get started with what you have on the inside. And today, maybe it's your breakout moment. Today, maybe it's you decide to have a bold and courageous faith. Maybe you're sitting there and you would say, you know what? I would like to have a Caleb moment. I would like to go ahead and start following him wholly right now. How do I do that? The first thing is this, take God at his word. Just take God at his word. We're always looking for a way out. We're looking for something to get better. We're looking for a person to make our life better. Can I tell you the greatest way for you to go ahead and begin to have a bold, courageous faith is to take God at his word. It sounds simple, and sometimes it's very difficult. You say, John, why would you say it can be very difficult? Well, here's what takes place. In Numbers chapter 13, in verses 4 to 16, something begins to unfold that's very different. You see, Moses gets a group together, And we look, and there are 12 men that go out. Joshua and Caleb are listed. And here's what happens in that. Moses sent them to spy out the land. And he says, I want you to go, and I want you to spy out the land which God has promised to us. He says, I want you to be very courageous. He tells them that. Numbers chapter 13. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to be courageous, and I want you to know that God has already provided this, and I want you to bring back a report. And when you bring back this report, we're going to put our battle plan together, and we're going to go, and we're going to claim the land. The struggle that took place is this. Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13, they go out. And here's what happens a little bit later in Numbers 13. Verse number 27, they bring back word and they begin to share it. It says this, then they told him, they're telling Moses, this is the group of 12 spies. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. And the Bible says that they brought back, I mean, grape clusters, grapevines this big. I mean, they're carrying them on a rod, and they can't imagine everything that's there. But then here's what follows. It says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. And then Caleb steps up and he says, amidst a group who already has a noise level that's rising, wondering how they're going to do it. In verse number 30, Caleb quieted the people. And he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. But verse number 31 says, but when the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. It says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report. And here's what happens. They end up having complete chaos. In Numbers 13, 4 through 16, we see a list of 12 names that are given. In the report that we just looked at, we see one who goes ahead and comes out, and Caleb says, look, I believe that we can do that. And then the verse after that, the people that are there said, no, it's absolutely impossible. There's no way we can go ahead and do that. Caleb says, we can go and get that land because of God. The people began to talk. And it continues into chapter 14 of Numbers. And here's what takes place. In verse number 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of God. They said, we don't know what to do. The people want to go back and they want to do something different. They're ready to go back to Egypt. They're ready to go back to where life was easy. So Moses and Aaron have all these complainers in front of them. They fall on their face before God and they say, we don't know what we're going to do. In verse number 7, in verse number 6, it says this, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel. And they said, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And here's what they say, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And here's the response. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. They said, let's stone them with stones. You see, Caleb and Joshua are ready to go ahead and take God at his word. When we look at Joshua chapter 14, Joshua is described as following God with his whole heart three times. Joshua said, I came back and I shared my heart. And then Caleb is there and he's described as following God with his whole heart on three separate occasions. He's willing to take God at his word. You see, sometimes in my life, in your life, it's hard to go ahead and be courageous because we have a hard time taking God at his word. Not sometimes because we don't believe him, but because of what we see. Because of the appearance of our inadequacies, because of the appearance of circumstances, because of the appearance of difficulty. Let me ask you something this morning. What's keeping you from taking God at his word right now? What's keeping you from taking God at his word for your marriage, at his word for your finances, at his word for your job, at his word for the way that you serve him? What's keeping you from taking God at his word and just absolutely trusting him? You see, Caleb was ready to do it. And everybody else said, no, we don't want to do that. So what did Caleb do? You see, this is where Caleb truly becomes bold and courageous, because Caleb just didn't go and stand before the people and say, this is what I think we should do. And then the people said, no way, you're crazy. We're going to take you outside the city and stone you, okay? And that's not stone with smoke. That was stone with rock, all right? Take their life, okay? Here's what happens. Caleb doesn't change. He doesn't begin to go ahead and switch things up. You see, if we're going to have a bold faith like Caleb had, here's what we have to do. We have to be willing to take God at his word. But the second thing is this: we have to believe when others do not. You see, as you read down through here, one of the things that you discover about Caleb's life is this: he may not have been perfect, but he was believing for 40 years when others didn't. He was believing for 40 years when others didn't. How many of you would describe yourself as a really patient person? Yeah, we've got two or three people in here this morning that are going out on that limb. I'll ride down the road with you. We'll find out how patient you are. One of the best places we find out how patient we are is at a traffic signal, right? I mean, that's always an indicator. It's kind of amazing. You look out and you see all the crosses and the church name tags and the decals and the logos, and those are the first people to honk the horn, get mad, and tell people what they think. People say, how come we don't have some of those? Because I've seen you drive, right? I see me drive. Years ago, I was driving down the road with my mom, and I had just moved here. I mean, I hadn't been the pastor here for a week. I was coming for my first Sunday, all right? I had preached a couple times and officially going to be here, and I'm riding down the road in Terre Haute, and I said, man, I wish that lady would get out of the way, and I'm just kind of getting aggravated. My mom calms down, and she says, John, you just go ahead and calm down. Don't worry about it. Just be patient. You're just like your father. And besides, what are you going to do if that lady shows up at our church on Sunday? I said, Mom, I'm not going to be there. You're going to be the one to deal with it. You know what? Sometimes it's hard for us to be patient and hang on. Caleb was able to be patient and believe when others did not. Joshua and Caleb stand before a multitude of people, not 10 of their friends. You see, 10 of their friends went with them, and they said, Joshua and Caleb, you're nuts. They went out and convinced a multitude, not 10 more, not 20 more, hundreds of thousands, and they said, there's no way we can go. And Joshua and Caleb stand alone, and they say, we believe that with God's help, it can be done, because God has promised it. And Joshua and Caleb were ready to go to war, and 45 years later, Caleb is still holding on. He still believed. You see, in order to have a bold and courageous faith, there's something that we need to understand. The Bible says that faith has substance. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, it tells us that it has substance. If faith has a substance, what does that mean? It has a foundation. And then it also says it has evidence, which means a proof and conviction. And Caleb was able to look and say, you know what? This promise that I'm putting my faith in, it has a foundation of God. C- Can I tell you that God's word has a tremendous foundation that will last for forever? It cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. It is the cornerstone. It is the rock that will be there. And the key to a courageous faith is to take God at his word and go ahead and believe when others don't. Caleb said, I'm able to believe when others don't because I believe in the foundation. I'm convinced and I'm convicted that God will go ahead and keep his word. You see, if we're going to go ahead and have a courageous faith, we've got to be willing to believe when others don't. And sometimes we're not real courageous because somebody else says, there's no way that God could use you. Sometimes we're not courageous because we look at ourselves and we hear the words that other people have shared throughout our life, and we begin to think we don't have much to offer God, and we begin to think that we don't have many talents, and we begin to think that our life is just humdrum, and there's no way we could do anything courageous. Caleb, he was able to take God at his word. What do you need to trust God on? Maybe for you today, it starts with knowing that your life is not perfect and that you've sinned, which just means you've done wrong and you've missed God's mark. Maybe today, that's where it starts for you. And you begin to say, okay, I've heard about Jesus and I don't know much about him. Well, let me tell you that he died for you on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, for my sin, because we all have a fault-filled life. And Jesus gave his life so that we could trust him and place our faith in him and live forever with him in eternity, but also so that we could live by faith right now. And Caleb had that faith. Today, maybe it starts with you taking God at his word in salvation. Maybe it starts with you taking God at his word in a specific area of your life for a specific need. I don't know what it is, but you do. Where and how do you need to take God at his word? And maybe today we realize that Caleb had a faith that was bold and courageous, hung on for 45 years because it was a faith that is alive. It's alive. You see, there was no past tense in Caleb's reference. He talked about the past. He spoke of the past, but everything that he spoke of in the past, he was still counting on God to go ahead and fulfill right now. You see, it was a faith that was alive. When we begin to go ahead and look at Caleb, it says he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He continued to follow him. He was following him before the 40-year mark, and life was good for him. But some others said, no, we're not interested in doing what God leads us to do. We're not going to take God at his word. We're going to do things our way. But Caleb hung on to God's word, and he was willing to believe when no one else would believe, and he had a faith that is alive. One of the things that's a struggle in my life and your life is living on yesterday's faith, living on last year's moment. And we look back at how our life was. Can you imagine how this story would go? It wouldn't read very interestingly if Caleb would have said, hey, Joshua, you remember 40 years ago that silly promise that was made? You remember when God said he would go ahead and help us to defeat them? I'll tell you what, I believed it then, but you know what? I'm just really old, and I can't do much. Maybe we could go ahead and get somebody else to go and take that mountain. You see, what makes it really interesting and what makes it really practical is that 45 years later, Caleb is still believing. He's got a faith that is alive, a faith that is connected. You see, faith trusts God even in the long waiting moments. You see, for 40 years, you know what Caleb got to do? Caleb was walking around in the wilderness, missing out on the blessing and the promise that God had for him, not because of what he did, but because of what other people did. Caleb didn't get bitter. He didn't say, wow, they didn't listen. I'm not going to go ahead and hang out with these people anymore. I'm not going to walk with them. I'm not going to be around them. No, he just stayed connected in his faith to the God that he trusted and believed in. He kept his faith alive. It was a faith that is connected. It was a faith that was waiting. Waited and worked and believed for over 40 years. Let me ask you something. Is your faith connected to God? Is your faith working? Caleb woke up every morning and he said, I'm ready to go take on a day and do something for God. And he comes to this place. They've crossed the Jordan. He's honing in on the mountain and he can see it. And he looks at Joshua and he says, Joshua, you know what? I might be 85, but God still got it in him. Let's go get this mountain. It was a faith that is alive. Some of you have known Christ for many years. You've walked with him and he's been your Savior for a long time. And some of you feel like your best years are behind you. But can I tell you this? For every one of us, our best days are ahead of us when we know the Savior and when we're walking in faith with God, because God can use any one of us, the young or the young at heart. He can use the youngest person. He can use the oldest person to make a difference. And Caleb understood that it wasn't based on the circumstance of his life. It wasn't based on where he was at. It was based on where God was at and where his heart was. So today, I ask you, do you have a heart that is alive for God? Do you have a heart that's tuned into him? Because Caleb said, I came back and I was convinced in my heart that God could do this. I came back and I followed God with my whole heart. Which brings us to one simple final thought about Caleb. It was a faith in God, not in circumstances. You see, back in Numbers, they went out and spied, and they saw giants, and they saw difficulty, and they saw all their impossibilities to deal with. That didn't budge Caleb's faith. Caleb said, God can take care of that. He can do all things. Now, we fast forward 45 years. Caleb's up in years. And he says, Joshua, I'm older now. But you know what? God hasn't changed. Let's go get that mountain. And as you begin to read beyond Joshua chapter 14, here's what you begin to discover. Caleb gets a group of men together, and he goes ahead, and he goes, and he takes that mountain, and it becomes the mountain that God had promised him. Why? Because he was willing to take God at his word. And in the midst of taking God at his word, he was willing to believe when others didn't. And when he was past believing when others didn't believe, he was still willing to keep his faith alive because he understood that his faith wasn't tied to circumstances. His faith was tied to the God in heaven who's the creator and who is the sustainer. You want a bold, courageous faith. You want to do something courageous in life. Can I tell you, start today. Take God at his word. Listen to him. Arise and go and leave the consequences to him. It worked for Joshua and Caleb, and I promise you, it will work for you today. Would you pray with me? In just a moment, we're going to pray. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to ask you if you would like to. If you'd like to know Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus wants to be your Savior and will be your Savior the moment that you invite him to be. If that's you today, in just a moment, when we stand together and begin to sing, I want to encourage you to leave your place and come right down to the front. There'll be someone that'll meet you here and take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain. Maybe you're here today and you say, John, I know Christ is my Savior, but honestly, I've not been very bold or courageous. Honestly, I'm not taking God at his word. There's some areas of my life that I just need to go ahead and get back to. I need to listen to Him. I need to have that arise and go moment and just leave the consequences to Him. I'm just going to follow Him and do what He wants me to do. I'm not going to let all the naysayers influence. I'm not going to go ahead and let that be my guide and my director. I want to go ahead and have a bold, courageous faith. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to rise and go do what He's leading me to do. And I'm going to leave the consequences to Him. Maybe if that's you today, you want to come and pray and ask God to help you with that. Maybe you need to come and pray about something else that we've not even talked about today that you just need to talk with God about. Whatever your need might be. If you want to know Jesus, if you want that bold, courageous faith, if you want to listen to His voice, be willing to go. I encourage you just to come and discover more. Come and pray. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, as we come to this invitation time, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, if there be one here today that doesn't know You as Savior, that today would be the day that they would come to know You as their Savior. Father, if there's others that want to come to pray, that want to come and drive a stake in the ground and say, I want a bold and courageous faith, let this be that moment for them today. Father, please speak to hearts. For it's in Christ's name we ask it.